I think music can raise vibrations, and this can definitely do it.
It's good stuff.
This is a great riff.
Great riff.
Whatever. Awesome. I am Doug.
I am Scott L.
Our guest
Diane.
In the studio. Yes, Diane. Will's in the house, man in the board. We're talking about a photo. www.ghostlytalk.com. Click on the pictures section.
First photo.
It's the first photo up top.
We
it's
threw
dated.
It up there for you all to look at.
It's very, very eerie looking.
And I think people are scared because nobody's called in yet.
I don't know.
I don't know what their trip is.
Either that or maybe the 88 number's down. I don't know. But
did you pay the bill?
I did, yeah. I pay the bill every month.
Are you sure you paid the
I'm
bill?
I'm positive.
This happened with the website one time, if you remember.
Well, I thought, yeah, that was interesting. I thought you were going to do it, and you thought I was going to do it. We thought each other was going to, and nobody did it. But,
yeah.
Yeah, that
so
that
I'm
can
just,
be handled.
I'm just following up here.
Yeah, no. It's paid. It's
all right,
a
cool.
Good number. 888-520-1969.
We really need a little help on this because this is really taking kind of a this discussion. Well, I just kind of kicked back because you guys started jamming. So
yeah, it went into an ethereal kind of.
Yeah, but you know, it ties in though. I mean, all these things tie in to this picture. It does, because there's a lot of things that led up to this picture that you've discussed already, Diane. There are these coincidences. Coincidences.
What were those?
And, yeah. But we talked to Mark Russell Bell a long time ago, and that was one of the first guest we ever had on the show. And now I know that was the one thing me and you took away from that show is Mark's like, listen, man, you have to pay attention to these coincidences. It's very important to pay attention to these things. These are not the coincidences. You pay attention to them because they're there for a reason. Therefore, mm-hmm. they're not really coincidences. They're there for a reason. Mm-hmm. So you pay attention to these things.
And he's speaking of Mark Russell Bell, he's been doing some new stuff. If you go to testament.org, he's been doing some stuff. He was at the LA Expo mm-hmm. and everything like that. The when you look at the photo,
okay.
First of all, it's a photo of a mist.
Yeah.
Right? That's a mist photo.
Mm-hmm.
On the I don't know how many new ghost hunters listen to Ghostly Talk because we've been around for 2 years and usually everybody's like all like really into it.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, when you first look at this photo, you say, okay, it's a missed photo.
Yeah.
This was taken on Polaroid.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
That's why the whole scan that I took, I made sure it's a Polaroid picture.
Right.
So I cut
the edges and everything. Yeah.
Yeah. I wanted everybody to see that it's a Polaroid.
Which
photo.
Means that it's self-developing.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So there's no negative or anything like that, but it was developed without human interaction.
Yeah.
It was developed with the chemical process that develops Polaroid photos.
Mm-hmm. Now, the one thing, though, you said that there's misty photos. That's the one thing we commented on earlier, though, is if you look at it, we'll scroll it up just a little bit, will you? We're looking at it right now as we speak. Look at the orb right there. I mean, there is an orb of some sorts right there. Yeah, Will's pointing it out with the little finger guy. There it is.
And it's definitely circular.
Well, the one thing now, I'm going to quote Dr. Ken on this. If people are like, Dr. Ken. Well, I like Dr. Ken. He's cool.
Yeah, of the Ohio.
But, yeah, well, yeah. From Mansfield Reformatory. He did discuss orb photos. Now, he has a big problem with digital.
Yeah.
This is the guy he's like Mr. Nazi against digital. He hates digital photos. Totally.
Right.
He will not even argue with you. He will not discuss it. No. Mm-hmm. He actually gave me a camera. He saw the digital camera hanging around my neck when I was talking to him. And he literally came, went to his car and grabbed a regular 35mm and said, use this, please. And take the film out and take it home with you. That's how hardcore this guy is about this. So when you talk about these orb photos, a lot, especially digital, especially mm-hmm. my camera, course, the one I bought, loves to pick up dust and magnify it and bounce the light off it and make it look like these orb type photos. Dr. Ken's specifications, generally it's a speck of dust or some type of debris for the simple fact is that it's not perfectly round. That's mm-hmm. one thing to think about. Another thing too is it's transparent a lot of times too. You can see right through it.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the two big criteria for it to go, look, this is not what you think it is. Now, a real orb, according to Dr. Ken, is something that is an orb shape like this one we're looking at right now, but it's very solid. Now, this is a misty type thing. That's what makes this a little weird. It makes it in one of the, you kind of have to put it in the gray area of this case, because I see a circle. I see a perfect, almost a perfect circle, but we have this misty thing around it also, so it's throwing the whole circle off. So now what we have is I'm going to call it like a type of hybrid photo, where we have a mixture of both. Now, I know I've seen photos where we have an orb here, and we have some mists over here, and maybe another orb down here, but I've never seen something where there was
combined.
A mixture of both. I called it his head. But who knows what it is.
What was Dr. Ken saying about pre-apparition? There's a state. He said there's a state that you capture on film often,
mm-hmm.
or more often than, you know, like if you just look at all the orb photos or whatever and things like that. But there's a special state of a pre-apparition.
I'm lost on that one.
You don't remember that part?
I really focused on what we're talking about right now.
Right, well,
he was really on top of that.
Yeah, and the thing is, though, I was wondering if this was one of those states, those special states.
Well, yeah, I mean, you've got
combinations of interesting things, artifacts going
on
in the photo.
You said he shot a couple of pictures, right?
Mm-hmm.
At the same, like in the same time frame. Now, the other pictures he shot, nothing was on there?
No, just the basement.
Just the basement. So there was nothing of this sort on there whatsoever?
No, just this one.
Huh. Because, yeah, I mean, we're talking about...
Yeah.
Because But I was just thinking, like, okay, well, what if we shot this like a frame shot, you know, where people can just boom, 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 shoot mm-hmm. a bunch of pictures. And what if, yeah, you did get a metamorphosis type thing. Never seen that before, but it's something to think about.
Right,
too.
But no, I don't think even Dr. Ken said that that you can take photos,
something materialize
and watch it materialize
I've
over,
never seen anything like that.
Over time. But I think that he said that there's a certain kind of combination of artifacts in a photo that could be considered a what he calls, I think, a pre-apparition
uh-huh.
thing. And then, of course, it may not happen if there's not enough energy or whatever, or it just doesn't happen.
Yeah.
But there was a special state, and it's interesting. I'll probably have to email
we'll
him
to
and
email
ask
him
about just what was that pre-apparition
you
stuff?
Were talking about 2 years ago.
Yeah, I know. That's the problem. And I've read and seen and done so much since that
yeah.
I think I've locked that part out of my memory. But... So, but yeah, there's a lot of artifacts going on in this photo.
Right.
What's interesting is it's even without the mist and the bright orb shaped thing and the light, it's blurry. Were the other ones blurry? I mean, I know that Polaroids aren't always crystal clear, but there's like, can you call
yeah,
up the photo again real quick?
Up here again.
See, like in the background, you can see
of
the door.
A Polaroid,
yeah,
actually.
I think that is fairly typical that the background, like only the thing in the main frame is going to be as clear as possible. The rest is going to be kind of blurry. Okay.
It looks pretty much like the other Polaroids to me as far as clarity. It's not like a high resolution.
Well, those lights back there. Let's clarify. I'm correct to say that those
are lights.
Okay,
those are lights. Yeah, okay.
Those aren't like demon hordes coming
no.
down from the sky. those are lights.
What a relief.
Okay. But
yeah, it's really interesting because it captured at that time.
Right.
The camera took a photo of this. It
yeah.
really did.
It sure did.
It didn't.
Like you said that none of the other pictures that were taken in the basement the same time.
Right. They just show the basement.
Just show the basement. Right. See, that's typical of a lot of stuff too. Because we've shot pictures out in the field, and we know other people have told us the same thing, where they'll shoot something and get something really weird, and they'll pop off like five or six other shots, and there'll be nothing in the frame
right.
whatsoever.
It just looks
nothing
like
at all.
What you saw with your eye.
Yeah. And I've never. That happens a lot. That
mm-hmm.
happens a lot with people where they'll get even from just a little orb to some type of weird looking mist figure. I shot that. I keep referring back to that Adair frame shit thing I shot where
right.
I never have shot anything like that since then. Everything I've shot is crap.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing I've ever gotten anything
like
else.
Those.
It's because I moved to digital, ironically too. I went from 30. That was 35mm. I shot on and scanned it, and those were some of the creepiest things I ever saw. I don't know how I did that, but. This is along the same lines of that too, where we have something taking somewhat of a shape. You discussed that. You know, here's the. Here, scroll back up again. Well, or let's get the whole thing in the frame here again. Oh, scroll. Okay.
Oh, that's the ductwork up there.
Well, yeah, why don't you just bring it back down? Hey, look at the ductwork. Nice. We're gonna bring it back down a little bit so we can get the whole thing down. He's gonna size it down a little bit. Well, now you're gonna wreck it. Don't delete it.
delete. Yeah, people will be like, what's up? And for those of you who are listening on not live, because we're live on Sunday nights from 7 p.m. till 9 p.m. Eastern time, but the show re-airs, all the time on different
mm-hmm.
venues.
We'll leave this picture up. I mean,
leave it up.
Diane, as long as you're okay with that, we'll
sure.
leave this up for as long
mm-hmm.
as we have to, so people can like listen to the show and kind of use the show and this picture as a tutorial thing to go back and forth with. But I mean, we've talked about let's go through it again. Let's just lock it down. I think we kind of talked about it in pieces. Through it again. Like, what do you see, Diane? As far as the picture yourself. I just want to get this all down for people to like kind of think about also.
I see the late husband sitting on the bar that had just been tore down, sitting there with his feet up,
uh-huh.
and he's got his arm.
Yeah, the arm.
Up, the one that's up, like, get out of here.
Yeah,
I
see.
To me.
See, now I'm looking at this differently now also, too. I do see this arm. Okay, you have... Okay, well, I'm trying to, like, put myself in that position, but it would be like, okay, I'm sitting, my left hand is supporting my body,
mm-hmm.
The left hand supporting your body on the bar. The other hand's going, hey, get the hell out of here. Exactly. You're swinging the arm forth, you know, like that. So, and then the rest of it, yeah, now I'm starting to see more of a form. I just thought I saw the arm that you were talking about before, but I see two legs now.
Yeah,
I see two legs. I see
feet,
the
uh-huh. And then he's like sitting there.
Yeah.
Like it is an actual bar, and that's where the bar was.
That's where the bar was. You said that, yeah. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I keep saying that. I hate to keep saying it, but that orb looks like the head. Like it looks like his head.
And he's
head.
Definitely saying, get out of here.
Get out of here. I mean, yeah, you have the hand going, shoo. Go
yeah.
away.
He did not like my friend tearing apart his basement at all.
Yeah, we've discussed that. That's something that it stirs up activity. It's mm-hmm. theoretically it stirs up activity. Now let's go through dog part too.
Now
I see
I
the dog.
I believe that's
yeah.
the dog with the head
yeah.
towards under his body, and she was always like we had bar stools right there also, and she
yeah.
was always like under the stool.
Okay.
You know.
Yeah.
And then the tail. Or the body kind of up in the doorway there.
Yeah. Now, there's a hole there, too, on his body, going back to his,
mm-hmm.
his body.
Right around the heart.
Yeah, symbolically, you know, yeah.
He died of a heart attack.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so I was just thinking, you know, kind of getting deep philosophical here. So the mm-hmm. symbolism in that kind of, because there's a hole right there through. It's transparent, mm-hmm. because there's nothing there.
He had a massive heart attack. It looked like in his sleep.
Really? Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I mean, now I'm looking at this a lot different now, too. Because before, like I said, I saw the arm you were talking about, but mm-hmm. now I'm actually seeing a shape. Like I said, the hand, the left hand supporting his body on the bar.
Yes.
I mean, guys, what do you guys think about this, too? I mean, what
no,
do you think? I mean, are we all kind of concurring on this?
I'm seeing it, yeah.
I mean, that's... it's a numbing picture,
and then
it really
what I
is.
Did notice to the far left, where the bed had been, it looked like either fire or I could see... hands coming up.
Let's blow that up.
Like
let's blow it up some more. Let's look at that again. I know you mentioned that. We didn't really touch on that too much. Let's look at it a little deeper here again.
Which kind of represented to me
yeah, what
that he was...
Well, can you blow it up some more, Will? Yeah, one more time. Now that's what you're talking about, right?
Yes.
What we're looking at? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that was come back to the regular size.
What the heck?
Like symbolic of perhaps he was...
Is that as big as it's getting?
In the turmoil
yeah.
part of the afterlife.
Now, yeah, there was nothing there, though. There was nothing there.
No.
Nothing physical,
no.
like...
No.
I don't know what I can think of.
It looks
so, the bed had been removed.
Correct.
So there's
everything
nothing there. There was nothing
no.
there.
So
no
those
bedroom.
Wavy lines over on the
well,
left
it kinda
hand.
Look,
of the
it kind of looks like flames coming off.
Flames
you know what
is
mean?
What
yeah.
I looked like.
And you
like
should have seen wall and floor, right?
Well, what's that shape there, like... Kind of swoop, yeah. Will, you're pointing it right. What's that? What is that? Do you know what that shape? I mean,
no, I never looked at that.
Scroll up a little bit with the elevator buddy there. Okay. I mean,
it's
what do we
like
have?
A lighter.
It's like an outline of something. I mean,
I honestly do not know.
I've looked at this picture so much, and I'm glad that we're doing this because now I have you here, and we can really break into this a little bit more and get an idea. Because I'm seeing an outline. I mean,
I mean,
I'm trying to be as creative as possible here, but I can't think of anything, honestly. But yeah, the flame, I mean, they look like flames.
Mm-hmm.
They look like flames of some sort. Or, I mean, that's, I have to agree with you. That's all I can think of, really.
It's definitely an artifact. I mean, that you can tell. It wasn't supposed to be captured in a photo.
No.
Because the fellow didn't see it. The camera didn't even see this the next time he took a photo or the previous time he took a photo. It just... The camera saw this at this point in time. It saw this
mm-hmm.
this image,
mm-hmm.
and captured it in its glory of light and chemicals. You know,
uh-huh.
because that's how Polaroids work.
Now, here's one question though. Will, can you scroll back to the head? I'm just going to call it the head for right now.
See, the head part is the darkest area.
Well, it's the most densely concentrated, mm-hmm. I guess, with, like, you know, whatever that is. That's where it seems to, you know, I don't
well,
know if it's all coming from
lot,
that,
maybe
or...
it took a lot of energy on his part to manifest, and it's showing us the head had the most energy.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of things. I mean, we actually discussed, like, these different types of things you capture on film. you know, real quick, you know, the orb is like the lowest, like we say, the lowest amount of energy.
Right. It doesn't take as much energy to manifest in.
I believe mists. I mean, that's a little bit, that's a bit more energy.
One up.
And then you go in, you move into a thing called
vortex.
Yeah, or vortexes. See, vortexes are, that's one of those great, another gray.
They're
area.
Very
people,
rare, but
they're
I,
rare, yeah.
What I'm wondering is, I wonder if that was the beginning where the head is. I'm wondering if that was the beginning of a vortex because everything seems to flow from it, but. Usually you wouldn't get, I don't know, do you usually, have you ever seen photos of mists and vortexes in the same frame?
Never. Never seen one.
Have, Will?
Never seen one. Not one.
So then this would just be, this would be mist. This is classified then, this would be classified
well,
as a mist
photo. Well, you're talking about this pre-apparition thing also.
Where there's multiple, Ken. Yeah, and I think that he, that
I'm
that's
just,
where
I'm,
there's multiple
I'm wondering
artifacts.
If this may have been something like that where he may have been trying to expel a certain amount of energy, and I mean, boy, now we're gonna really get nuts because you know what? Who, I mean, if we're talking about a parallel universe, a different part of existence, is time exactly the same? What,
right,
what a second,
not, yeah.
What a second is here could be like, you know, years there, or the other way around.
Right.
Maybe he was like, what he was doing was going, hey, get the hell
well,
out of here, go away. But you know, for us, that's you know, that could have been.
But that's also further complicated. That's further complicated by something that I learned from Kelly
uh-huh.
When she was talking to the one spirit at the Holly Hotel.
Yeah.
When this particular spirit was trying to get the attention of the gentleman in the men's bathroom,
uh-huh.
right? This spirit was trying to be friendly and you know and say hi, I'm here. You know, I want to talk to you or. You know,
yeah.
she wanted to be. It was the intentions were good, but the way it manifested
uh-huh.
in our reality
mm.
was the room got dark and cold, and you heard things, and it was scary, and
yeah.
so the men would like you know run out, you know you know I mean so her the intention on the other side
yeah.
was completely different than what actually happened or what
I
actually
think,
came
I think
through.
That's an important point, is the scary part is how we perceive it. It's not really scary.
Well, yeah, a lot of folks, you were mentioning during a break that a lot of folks would look at a photo like this and be just absolutely scared.
Yes.
You know,
yeah.
Well, throw that away mm-hmm. or, you know, and a lot of people would absolutely
fear the unknown.
I yes, guess. And a lot of people would even deny it and say, oh, something was wrong with the camera mm-hmm. at that mm-hmm. time or you know someone was smoking or you know different things like that
mm.
They would just try and explain it away like that when you know that's not true.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
but
there's well go ahead Doug.
Yeah,
I want to mention something else,
so the perception that and of course he would have at that time been a fairly new spirit
mm-hmm.
right
it was about 5 months
yeah and the theory is that.
That's your IRC, man.
Oh. Okay, I'll get it in a minute. I'm on the radio, you guys. I'll be with you. the theory is that, you know, when you first, you know, expire from this realm
mm-hmm.
and you become spirit, that the, you know, family, friends, and you know, other loved ones
yeah.
and stuff are there to help you and take you through the tunnel to the light, that kind of thing. I mean, that's
mm-hmm.
that's the theory. We believe, as you know, the parapsychology believes that it doesn't always happen that way.
Yeah.
That there are times when you have unfinished business keeping you from going into the light or you know going into the next world. And things keep you here.
Yeah.
So you're here, and if you're here, you there is and time no longer means anything. Like you were talking about, there's
mm-hmm.
there's no perception of time when you're in that state.
Yeah.
And but you do have things to learn because suddenly you're in a completely different environment.
Mm-hmm.
And as a spirit, you had forgotten all of those things while you were here on the Earth plane because you're according to Edgar Cayce you. When you reincarnate, you forget everything,
mm-hmm.
but your spirit doesn't, your soul doesn't forget, but you still have to reacquaint yourself. I mean, it's a sudden
yeah.
shock. And so the theory is that you would have to take time to learn these things. And even John Edwards says that, I believe, talking to new spirits is much more, or getting information from new spirits is either sometimes impossible or... Or it doesn't come through. It needs to come through with the help of
other helper spirits. You just said they're in a new environment.
Right.
They don't know how to communicate yet, probably. I mean, that's one way to look at it.
So he may have intended to make a complete picture of himself on that film.
It could have been an attempt for even I need help. Or I'm just trying to communicate even.
Right.
But I took it as, get out of here.
Get out of my basement.
Well, yeah. There's another thing to look at, too. I want to get to this after the break, though, okay? But this is something for you to think about during the break. He's sitting on the bar.
Mm-hmm. That isn't there anymore.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Where his ashes were.
The hell's the bar at?
Yeah, there's the bar is not there. So to him, or to this apparition, to this artifact, this spirit, the bar is still there.
Yeah. What's going on with that? Think about that on the break.
Interesting.
Okay, yeah, that's something I did that just kind of smacked me in the face. And
interesting. And we'll talk about a photo that I saw on the internet, a very famous photo. We'll talk about that, too, because that directly ties in with that.
Excellent. We'll be right back. Just jiggle that around in your head for a second.
Yeah.
Okay? And give us some ideas.
You know why is he sitting on a bar that's not there?
Exactly.
Because it was his bar.
We'll be right back.
It's paranormal, scientific, it's ghostly.
Stagehand tools.
You have tools, know where to put them? Want your hands free to do other things? Try a stagehand tool belt. Stagehand tool belts can accommodate any task, whether you're building a stage or bringing down a haunted house.
Stagehand tools.
For all your industry needs, we have, for example, EMT pouches, radio pouches, tape measure holders, mailbags, and numerous flashlight accessories. Just go to
www.stagehandtools.com
and see all the cool stuff that Stagehand Tools has for you.
www.stagehandtools.com.
We know where to stick it.
Hello, this is Aaron.
This is Jennifer.
And something very dark would like you to listen to Ghostly Talk.
Hi, this is Heidi Hollis with AlienAdvice.com, and I'm coming to you with some questions that I get from people from my column, Alien Advice. And the next question I have is, Jay asked, I wanted to ask how I can help my son to be able to guard against the shadows, and I would say aliens too. He is very young, not yet two, but he wakes up with night terrors, and the way he looks around the room, I know he sees something. I also remember when I was little, I had trouble that way also. Not so anymore, because I've gotten away from my visitors when I was a teenager. They mostly came to me in my dreams as the cloaked figure, but I pray or ask for protection for myself and my son. But is there anything else I can do for added protection for him? Jay, as for your son, the prayers help for certain, and I wouldn't let that fly for a minute. With him being so young, it makes it harder since he cannot fully understand about choices and standing his ground against such creatures that I consider to be dark. So, I feel you are more than stepping up to the plate to help him when he cannot correctly help himself as much, and thinking that every little bit helps, but get to the bits of it. Having religious symbols and stuff like that above his bed or something
helps, I feel, because I think it's the strength behind the symbol that truly helps more than just the symbol. You could even buy him some sort of like religious T-shirts or whatever it is that you believe in, I wouldn't even suggest to wear a necklace or anything like that since the kid's so young. To sleep with something like that might be dangerous. But saying your prayers with him, having him repeat as best as he can with you might help as well. Saying tidbits of prayer throughout the day couldn't hurt either. I would say make it into a song of some sort and help make him sing along with you and see if that will help out. So I just feel that any little effort helps, and I think it's the thought behind it more than like religious this or religious that or symbols this. I think it's more of our strength that really helps protect against these kinds of things.
There was a time when I could breathe my life in you, and one by one your pale fingers started to move, and I touched your face, and all I felt these days, you felt like an angel.
This is the riff right here. See, this is the band. This is the band Clutch.
Clutch.
Ah. These guys rule. They are the funkiest band around, man. I know there's people out there that just... Clutch is a very popular band, actually, and people love those guys, and so do I. So there you go. This is my little homage to Clutch.
Woo!
They rock.
I am Doug.
I'm Scott L.
And I'm Diane.
And, of course, Will's in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And we're doing Ghostly Talk. We're live on Sunday nights from 7 p.m. till 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Pioneer.
Uh-huh.
Pioneer.rollo.net. Our website, of course, is www.ghostlytalk.com. We're talking about a photo of Diane
yeah.
that we put
something different this week.
Yeah.
This is very different. We've never done this before.
Right, and it's on our website, mm-hmm. so you can go there. Even if you're listening to a replay, you can go there and look at the photo.
Yeah.
It's in the pictures section. It's the first one. It's like really it's eerie, right, and it's a photo of a myth.
Yeah, it's a Polaroid shot. You'll see it right there.
Polaroid. Polaroid. Yeah, now, talk about Polaroid. Polaroid is a process where the film and the developing chemicals are all combined into one little package.
Yeah, amazing,
right?
Amazing, you know, it's been around for years.
I wonder how many, like, you know, like 16, 17, 18-year-olds or whatever, 19, 20-year-olds may not have even, like, ever taken a Polaroid photo.
Well, heck, my little sister, I have a Polaroid camera. I have one.
They're big and bulky.
Oh, they're huge. Yeah. They're huge, yeah. Man. And my sister saw it. This was a couple years ago. I'm like, yeah, it's a cool camera. And she's like, what is that?
Artifact.
Yeah,
yeah. She's seen the name Polaroid.
A fossil.
She's seen the name Polaroid, but she didn't know, you know, she doesn't have the same mindset that I have. When somebody says Polaroid, I think of a big bulky camera that you click and then it goes and shoots out the front, right?
Right.
They think it's just, you know, film and media and stuff like
that.
But, yeah, I mean, that's one thing we've never really talked about. And I, like we said in the beginning of the show, I don't think it's very practical to shoot with Polaroid because it costs so much.
It does. It's an expensive medium to ghost hunt with. You know, even more expensive than 35mm because...
That's what makes this case so weird, though, too, is that, yeah, I mean,
no human, not a single human was involved in the developing of a Polaroid, which raises an interesting point because, like I said earlier, I don't think I've read pro and con for using Polaroid as proof for ghost photos. Now... Before we had left for the break, or before we went on break, we had talked about how this image is of a misty figure
mm-hmm.
with its one arm supporting itself on a bar that's sitting on a bar that's no longer there, with one arm supporting itself and another arm raised, like shooing the photographer away.
Yeah. It's no bar.
Sitting
there.
On a bar that's not there. There is a photo, a very famous photo, of monks in a church.
Uh-huh.
And what's interesting about the photo is these monks are walking, it seems, in the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're up to their, you know, between their ankles and their knees.
I remember that
in
shot.
The floor.
I forgot who shot that, actually.
I don't remember. I think it was done in Europe. That I pretty much remember. But
I want to say Italy, but...
Italian to me too, but I dredged it up out of my memory.
It's been so long since I looked at it.
And it's a very famous photo.
But they're coming out of the floor.
And they're coming out of the floor. And the story is that the church had been renovated since, you know, it was, you know, the monks would have been there.
Uh-huh.
And the floor was raised.
Mm.
So they're walking basically on the old floor of the church.
Uh-huh. And that ties right in with this particular photo. Because he's sitting on a bar that isn't there. So that raises the question, do these particular beings, whatever they may be, when they occupy a space, do they occupy it as the space it was when they passed on, when they expelled, when they separated, theoretically separated body and spirit? Is that like a time lock? Is that like a Polaroid shot itself right there? Where, okay, bam. This is it right here.
What this space will always look like.
To you, yeah.
I have one interesting thing to share when you mm-hmm. mentioned that and made me think about, and it goes in the same lines.
Mm-hmm.
When my father passed away in 90,
uh-huh.
Approximately 3 nights after his death, in sleep, he came to see me mm-hmm. to, like, say goodbye, and it was at the house that we grew up in.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't the current house that we lived in. It was when I was younger.
Yeah.
And it was definitely at that house. And he came and to say goodbye. And he told, his words were, I remember I was crying and I asked him, how are you? And he said, how are you?
Mm-hmm.
Back to me. He says, I went fast, didn't I? And he said, I'm okay. And I started talking to him about my mother and sister's plans on moving together. And he was like, put up his hand like, no, don't talk. This is just our time, you know, together. And then he said, I have to go now. And he turned around and walked, like, away
mm-hmm.
from there. And I knew I'd never see him again, that he was leaving then.
Mm-hmm.
But it was at the house we grew up in, so it was familiar territory.
It was familiar territory.
Exactly.
Well, that might explain things where people see things coming out of walls too.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're in a house that, like, say, okay, you're in a house and there may be a spirit there, and then somebody else moves in and they knock a wall down or they put a door up, they move a door or something like that. This particular spirit are still in that original realm, with the way the house was originally set up. So they see a door there, but it could be a wall now.
I think the people feel the most comfortable because when I think back, that was my dad's house. He loved that particular house.
Mm-hmm.
There was something about that house that he particularly felt more comfortable than any of the other houses,
mm-hmm.
or the other house that we lived in after that. So I think maybe that's why it took mm-hmm. place there. That was his comfortable.
So evoking that place
mm-hmm.
had meaning as well
yes.
to both of you.
Yes.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's the meaning, the
yeah.
symbols, the feelings that you get from everything with a contact like that.
Mm-hmm.
I know when you have your own house, I found that out quick, like recently. Yeah, I'm in that zone now where it's like I have a day, like for example today, where I've been running since I got out of bed, and it's like all I've been thinking about today, which I love, you know, I love coming here and doing this show every Sunday, but all I've been focused on kind of was going, God, I can't wait to get back to my house and sit on the couch and just kind of
yeah,
it's called your spot.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's my
spot.
You know, I mean, there's a lot of people that are like that. I have a father too who's the same way. He, as much as he'll never admit, he feels very comfortable in his house. I'm sure he's listening right now going, I'm going to kick his ass. But, I mean, I know he's comfortable. My mom's the same way. I know a lot of people that are just, they like their, that's their territory. I don't want to be like, well, I'm king here. This is my place. You know, it's like you feel comfortable. I mean, there's not really any other way to explain or analyze it. This is your zone. This is where you belong. And it must, I mean, if we're talking about this and we're going out this photo and we're talking about these other examples, that must be the way it works. So to say.
There's also, though, the when I was down in... It happens during renovations, you know, that it kicks up the spirit happenings or causes it to go away temporarily. Because when I was down in... I've heard of stories like that as well. When I was down in Atlanta at the Haunted Holiday Inn, or no, Haunted Red Roof Inn,
Love you saying that.
Well, I only found out the very last day. The last night I was there, we were checking out, like, you know, 10 hours from when I found out. And the lady told me that that they had renovated it from an existing property.
Uh-huh.
And when they did so, she had worked there previous to the renovations and then after the renovations, so she knew that. There were things that happened in the office.
Mm-hmm.
And then after the renovations, after they made it into a red roof, then it stopped for a long period of time. But, I mean, we're not talking decades. We're talking more like a couple of years, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then it started picking up very, very slowly again where you would hear, you know, hear someone come in and then they'd come out from the back and there's nobody there.
Well,
the fleeting whatever, you know, blurs on the
mm-hmm.
the video surveillance camera, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So it started coming back.
I wonder what would cause that, though.
Disruption of energies.
Yeah, well, what I'm saying...
Either can add energy to the experience or detract from it.
I could say... it'd be very easy to say, okay, this person has... This is their space. This is what they know. And now somebody comes in and tears all the walls out. And they put new walls up. Now, it'd be very easy to say, well, now they have to relearn it. But that totally contradicts what we just said a second ago, though, too. If they're in their same space and it never changes, regardless of what you do in this plane of existence to the space itself, then it shouldn't change.
Well,
I'm just comparing.
Oh,
what
no,
we were
I understand.
A second ago.
I understand what you're saying, but at the same time, you got to figure. Okay, well, time over there has no meaning. It's not. They don't live in a one-dimensional, two-dimensional, three-dimensional, four-dimensional world. They live in a world of, according to some, like, according to what quantum theory, up to 7 different dimensions or something like that.
Mm.
So they live in it's not quite the same experience.
Yeah,
it's a completely different experience.
Mm-hmm.
And so the things that we can go up and knock on or you mm-hmm. know hold us up when we're about to fall, you know, things like that. Those physical things aren't quite like that over there, according to the theories.
Yeah.
So maybe it just takes time. Even time means nothing over there, but at the same time, you know, it eventually would take time, you know, would the energies would become apparent over there if that theory holds any water. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe it's kind of like we were talking earlier in the show, they don't want to give up their stuff.
You don't want to, you don't want to give up your stuff. You don't want to give up your space, and you have they have the abilities to not give up their stuff or their space because they can, you know. One of the things, one of my favorite authors, Konstantinos, says, is that in one of the realms that Konstantinos describes in Communicating with the Other Side or whatever one of them books, is that they have the ability to create anything they want. It's if they want to live in a farmhouse in a meadow, they just think it and it is there, and that's their little part of the universe.
Okay.
If they now suddenly want to live in a Manhattan style studio apartment, you know, they think it and that's where they are at the moment. It's just so that's the way he describes the
maybe
the after-
based on that your ex husband may have created that bar again.
Yeah.
Said, hey,
that bar. Put, coming back.
I'm putting that
there
back.
It
tear
is.
It out. Do whatever you want. I'm putting it back. So
and,
there it is.
And for a brief moment in time, it coexisted in that space-time right there when that photo was taken. Not a moment before and not a moment after, but during that time when that photo was taken, it was there for him.
Here's another question, too. How long after your friend who tore the bar out, he was tearing the bar, did he tear the bar out that day?
Yes.
He was hammering away, cutting away, sawing away, wham, wham, sweat.
He just pretty much tore it apart that
day. So
maybe the day before. It might have taken 2 days, but the reason for the pictures was he had just finished.
He just finished. Mm-hmm. I'm curious as to, because you just said those two things coexisted, where, you know, we've discussed this with Halloween, how the two worlds, that's supposedly the time of year when the two worlds, the nether world and the physical world, the veil between the two, the gap, is the thinnest.
Yeah.
I'm curious as to thinking maybe with the energy your friend was expelling in that situation by tearing that bar out, because I know it's not fun to do that. I've done it before, and you know, you guys, it's fun. It's a lot of fun.
Oh, destroying is
always fun.
Destroying,
yeah. I love destroying stuff. It's a hard job.
It's
takes
an energetic
time,
thing.
You know,
yeah.
And you stub your thumb and hammer and stuff, and you say nasty words sometimes, so you're expelling energy by doing that, okay? And you're sweating. I'm wondering if that was possibly a catalyst of some sort to maybe thin that veil out or give your ex the energy to do that. As we've talked about this coexist sharing type thing too, which kind of leads into this poltergeist phenomena we talk about also, where they use the subject, the energy that subject kicks off as a catalyst to maybe materialize or move something or make a sound or do something like that. I'm curious if he may have borrowed that, piggybacked that energy, so to say, to materialize for that brief second where that picture was shot.
Well, you know, for a period of time, your friend's energies were part of the basement because he was in there and giving off aura, you know, and
taking over the space.
Yeah, and taking over the space. And
well, he was owning that space. He was tearing that thing apart.
In order to do it, you've got to pretty much take control of that space, and he took control of the space and. You know, evidently someone didn't like that because they borrowed that energy.
Or wanted to at least communicate.
Or at least wanted to raise an objection.
But
I object! holding his arm up.
Bottom line, though, there was no physical bar there, though. Correct. And there's someone sitting, I mean, at least it appears to be someone sitting at a bar going, get the hell out of here. I don't want you here. Leave my bar alone. It's, of course, everything we're talking about is all theoretical.
It's
all ideas. It's all things that, you know, I'm thinking of. I know I just thought off the top of my head, but,
well,
you know.
Yeah, it was good to have, you know, the person who knows the story behind the photo here.
Well, yeah.
You know, because, Diane, that helps so much. I mean, you know. There's a huge difference, I noticed, talking about this photograph than talking about photographs that we actively go out and seek. Mm-hmm. You know, because
yeah,
during
wasn't seeking.
Yeah, you weren't mm-hmm. seeking your friend, obviously. I mean, unless he's a ghost hunter.
No.
Yeah, he sounds more like a carpenter kind of person, mm-hmm. or you know. So I just don't. I wonder. You know, it's so completely different about the photos. You know, like when because you take a photo, you look at it, you can identify the artifacts because normally that's what you do. You grab a photo, digital or film, and you scan it for obvious artifacts, and then you scan it with your eye for obvious artifacts, and then you start looking really, really closely at what should be there and what shouldn't be there, and looking at the distortions of the image and the different colors and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you do when you analyze a photo, and you either list in your head or on paper the, you know, the things that should not be there. And this one, though, takes up pretty much the whole frame. I mean, you can't miss it.
This is just a rant. I mean, I'm sure he was pointing the camera in a certain direction to capture what was removed.
Mm-hmm.
Just to, like, you know, hey.
The bare walls.
Yeah, the bare walls.
It was supposed to be before.
Before and after, exactly, yeah.
What it was supposed to be, you know?
But, hey, Will, pop that up again, will you? Do you still have that up? Shrink it down a little bit.
You see the walls, all the
the
siding was all torn off.
Yeah, it's all torn down. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah, I mean,
it's a basement. Yeah,
it's a basement. But I'm just saying, it seems really centered too. It seems like, you know, I mean, look at the picture itself. We're looking at the
the
whole.
How did he get right
it's almost like a damn portrait. it's like hi. I mean, don't move. Okay, right there. Click. I mean,
posed for it.
Yeah. I mean, but if you look, it's a very well-centered shot.
I hadn't even thought of that.
You're right, though.
I totally
shot.
Had not even thought of it, Scott L. I would have totally been, I mean, I would have even said, right in the center of the photo, there's a mist. But I would have never thought.
Yeah.
You know,
a lot of these pictures we get, it's usually like, okay, right there in the top. Yeah, I know, squint your eyes. Okay, there it is. I mean, a lot of times, and then, you know, we can crop it off and kind of isolate it or blow it up or whatever. But that picture, this is the raw picture we're looking at, too. I mean, this picture you're looking at is a direct scan. I didn't do it. There's no, we have to say that. There's no photoshopping here. I don't believe in doing that kind of stuff. This is a scan. Clean.
Right.
Didn't
and
do anything to
and
it.
In existence is
yeah.
the real photo.
And actually, what
in,
you're looking at,
Diane's possession.
Actually, if
so.
You blow it up to the biggest size, that's the original photo. That is the original photo.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, as far as a scan goes, I mean, it's about as authentic as you can get. The heck was that sound?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. What's going on down here? But yeah, it's almost as if it's a portrait, though. I guess. I mean, it just looks like the person was posing for the picture too, like you said. Ah, get out of here! Mm-hmm. Throwing the arm up. That's something else to think about. Because it's a really well centered shot. It just looks good.
I hadn't even thought of that, but you absolutely.
I mean, I don't want.
It's
I
almost
hate to put
like
it
was
yeah.
done at a photography studio. Where
yeah,
you're
I hate
like,
to put
okay,
it in that
everybody,
context,
and then
know,
put
but,
it
yeah.
here and set there, and can you turn a little to the left? And okay, and now
okay,
everybody.
Put your arm up and shoot at me.
Smile,
okay, great. Wham, go away. You know,
yeah, and it's
like a posed picture.
Like extremely planned. I mean, you to center a subject that well on accident is just amazing.
Yeah, I mean, that's just, that's another one of those things. Just, I don't know.
A coincidence, there's
I
another
can't explain
coincidence
them. I can't explain
to pay attention
them.
To.
None of us can, but it's just, there's just a lot of, like, there is a lot of elements we've discussed here in the last 2 hours about this one picture. Which goes into these things. I mean, this is what people need to think about too when they get these pictures. Well, look at that. Oh, well, it looks kind of weird. And we've done it too with pictures. Well, that's something definitely anonymous. Archiving.
Anomalous. Yeah.
Yeah. There's things we've actually taken these pictures on the same thing. It's a in a lot more of a condensed version. We don't really spend like two conscious hours a lot of times. But I mean, I'll take the pictures that I think that's kind of peculiar and pump them through the filters at home or blow them up or do this or, you know, do what I have to do to look at them. But a lot of times it's more or less just looking at them because I don't have the story for one thing. I don't
have
the story.
Well, and
there's
a lot less meaning in the photos that we take when we're out and about looking for proof. There's a lot less meaning because they don't really, I mean, it means something to you because you're the photographer, and if you get a mist or an orb or an apparition even, although I imagine you could do 2 hours on that, the one by the fellow in, you know, in Bachelor's Grove, you know, the figure of the lady sitting on the bench.
Oh, yeah. That's...
I mean, you could talk for probably days on that one.
Yeah.
But it's like they just don't have meaning. Whereas this has a background story, it has it's obviously an anomalous photograph, one huge artifact just staring at you right in the center of the photo.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got to wonder. You've got to wonder, because what can you do if you take four or five or however many, I think they come in packs of eight.
Right. Polaroids?
Polaroids.
Oh, 10.
A 10? Okay.
Or 12.
10 or 12.
Okay, 10 or 12.
All even numbers,
so, you take your Polaroids and then you set them all next to each other and you wait the requisite, 3 minutes? Or some of the Polaroid cameras, do you remember they had this little dial? That it was
a
little timer. A little timer, and it was on the strap, and then you would crank it, and it would, and it was like an egg timer, and it would go, until it was done. And then when it stopped buzzing, then you would actually pull your, the back.
I don't even remember that. That must be super old.
Thanks.
You just turned 21 last week.
Yeah, again. Yeah. But
it's something to think about. I mean, just the photo by itself. I mean, we took 2 hours out, and we wanted to try something different here and take this picture and really dive into it. And I think we did that.
I think I learned a lot.
I think we really, it's like you said, there's meaning behind this photo. Diane explained that makes it a lot different. And
what's different, what's also different about this photo is when you go to ghostlytalk.com, you click on pictures, you look at it, there's a real photo in existence in Diane's possession that is this photo.
Yeah.
So it's not like, it's not like this is one that is, you can't find the source and things like that.
Yeah.
We know the source. We have the source here in the haunted studios, haunted basement studios. So we've talked with the source. The source of this photo is real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very, very, very real.
You guys, I have to say thank you so much, Diane.
Thank you, Diane. This was awesome.
And immediately following Ghostly Talk is, of course,
W Paranormal. Our boys.
Yeah.
And they missed the party. I'm so upset with you guys.
And that's okay. I've missed W Paranormal the past 2 weeks in a row. I've got to download the archive and listen.
Well, last week was kind of insane. You know, we didn't even get to talk about that this week.
Oh, about...
about the insane trip to Ohio.
Oh, the insane trip to Ohio. We'll talk about that next week.
Yeah, okay.
Unless we've got something going on.
I have pictures to put up on that anyway, still.
Yeah.
Of snow.
We'll talk about the blizzard on March 21st in Elmore, Ohio.
The square mile blizzard.
Just the one square mile blizzard that we were kind of roaming around in.
You know, everything else was fine. People were out on the beach playing volleyball. But we were like in this one area getting snowed on.
Poltergeist.
It was weird.
Very weird.
So with that, thank you, Diane.
You're very welcome.
Thank you, all the listeners. Thank you, everybody in the chat room. Thank you to Pioneer at pioneer.rolo.net. Visit our website at ghostlytalk.com. I'm Doug.
I'm Scott L.
I'm Diane.
And there's Will.
Hi, everybody.
And we'll be back next week, 7 a.m. to
James
or 7 p.m. to 9 p.m.
James Willis next week is coming.
Oh, yes, with James Willis.
Talking about paranormal music.
So tune in.
True science will not deny the existence of things because they cannot be weighed and measured. It will rather lead us to believe that the wonders and subtleties of possible existence surpass all that our mental powers allow us clearly to perceive.
We must ignore no existence whatsoever. We may variously interpret or explain its meaning and origin, but if a phenomenon does exist, it demands some kind of explanation.
A quote from The Principles of Science, William Stanley Jevons, 1835 to 1882.